Hi, everyone. Carrie, that was a really, really nice song. Really, really nice singing, actually. So hello, everyone. Welcome to The Guiding Light. The last time we looked at The Guiding Light was 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 14, verses 22 to 31. And on that day, we were really focused on noticing the difference between the inner spiritual path and the outer spiritual path. The outer spiritual path, of course, is expecting to learn something from the outside, looking out to get something that we think we do not have ourselves. And we saw that the ego, the outer spiritual path is merely an ego distraction. Because everything that we need for awakening is given through the inner spiritual path. And in fact, some of the lines that we read 2 weeks ago were like this. This is Jesus speaking. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. So the way that we understood that is that we obey the teaching by going within. You know, depending on our phase of awakening, we may be going within through something like journaling. We may be going within through something like contemplation of quotes or scripture. We may be going within through meditation. But we practice the teaching by, and we may be going within through mind watching. That's another. And discernment. That's another type of going within, right? But we practice the teachings by going within. Within is the direction. And when we go within, then, as Jesus says, my Father will come to him and make our home with him, right? That's like the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son began the trip home to his father's house. That's what we do when we go within willingly. We begin the trip home. And then the Father comes to meet us and guides us all the way home. So it is the inner path that is important. And we want to make sure that we are practicing the inner path in one way or another rather than being focused on an outward seeking. Today, let's see, we read all the way through the end of chapter 14 last time. So today we're going to begin with John chapter 15. And the name of this next little subsection in my NIV Bible is the vine and the branches. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you might be familiar with the vine and the branches. So as always, before we go to the new teaching, we will listen to some music. Again, in order to just become still. The music that we're going to listen to today is a John Denver song that you all, again, may be familiar with. It is called Sweet Surrender.
Lost and alone on some forgotten highway, traveled by many, remembered by few, looking for something that I can believe in, looking for something that I'd like to do with my life. There's nothing behind me and nothing that ties me to something that might have been true yesterday. Tomorrow is open. Right now it seems to be more than enough to just be here today. And I don't know what the future is holding in store. I don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure where I've been. There's a spirit guides me, a light that shines for me, my life. something that I can believe in. Looking for something that I'd like to do with my life. There's nothing behind me and nothing that ties me to something that might have been true yesterday. Tomorrow is open. Right now it seems to be more than enough to just be here today. And I don't know what the future is holding in store. I don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure where I've been. There's a spirit that guides me. A light shines for me. My life is worth the living. I don't need to see.
Reminded me of today's Awakening Together daily quote. It's a Ramana Maharshi quote. Surrender is giving oneself up to the origin of one's being. In due course, we will know that our glory lies where we cease to exist. Sri Ramana Maharshi. All right, so I will begin reading now then from the Bible at John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. So that is the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. So, the first paragraph, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So, what immediately comes to mind for me when I read this portion of this most recent speech by Jesus is what we call purification. In fact, do I still have the Awakening Together website open? I do. Let me read yesterday's daily quote to you. This was from Carl Jung. Yesterday's daily quote was this: the urge to become what one is invincibly strong, and you can always count on it. But that does not mean that things will necessarily turn out positively. If you are not interested in your own fate, the unconscious is. So if we put that quote along with what Jesus has just said, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Let me start to share about this through a story. And some of you may be familiar with this story. It's from the movie The Peaceful Warrior. And in The Peaceful Warrior, Dan Millman has a guru that he calls Socrates. And at first he is following the guru's instructions completely. But he still has some attachments in the world, and one of those attachments is to being a great gymnast. And what seems to be happening while he's following the guru's instructions is that he is becoming physically weaker, and therefore he is not as good of a gymnast as he was before. And he becomes frustrated, and he quits. He quits the spiritual path. He quits the guru. He goes back to his previous life eating and drinking and having sex and you know, being a successful gymnast, but also a fairly wild young man. And he's riding his motorcycle, and he has an accident, and in the accident his leg shatters, which of course, especially for a gymnast, is not a good thing. You know, this means you can no longer be a gymnast. And this accident ends up leading him back to the spiritual path. I think that movie as an example of what Carl Jung is speaking about as a possibility in yesterday's daily quote. The urge to become what one is invincibly strong, and you can always count on it. But that does not mean that things will necessarily turn out positively. If you are not interested in your own fate, the unconscious is. So if we are not actively turning our attention to the inner path, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, and remember, when we turn our attention to the inner path, the Father comes to meet us. This is the story of the prodigal son. The Father comes to meet us. We begin to receive insights, clarity, guidance. And we can follow those insights and clarity and guidance. And it can be a relatively easy path to awakening if we are surrendered. Right? If we are dropping self-will, dropping our attachments, dropping the way we think things should be, dropping what we think we want, and being devoted to the inner path and being devoted to that guidance and just following the Father home, it can be a relatively easy trip home. But to the degree that we cling to self-will, the trip home can seem more difficult. Somewhere along the line, and I'm going to use the word soul here, somewhere along the line, our soul decided to awaken. Or we could word it a different way if you prefer. We could say the Father decided it was time for us to come home. Two different ways of really describing the same thing that can't truly be described with words. But the time to awaken has come. And if we are still giving so much attention to the ego that we are not giving great willingness and surrender to the path of awakening, that soul's decision is invincible. And so the soul will begin calling to us in other ways. One way that the soul can call to us is through dreams. I remember Bob Ferguson said that he used to always, when he woke up, the first thing he would do is write down his dreams and then look to see what his dreams were communicating to him. Another way that the soul can talk to us is by taking apart what appears to be our outer life. Our outer attachments, dismantling them. And this is what happened in the story with Dan Milliman when he had the accident and his leg was shattered. Listen to this quote again. The urge to become what one is invincibly strong. In fact, I think I'd just like to read that very first part of the quote a few times so that we can really contemplate what these words are saying. The urge to become what one is invincibly strong. Invincibly strong. The urge to become what one is invincibly strong. And you can always count on it. I mean, if we just look at that part of the quote, how wonderful is that? You know, we've heard before that our awakening is inevitable, right? This says you can always count on this urge to awaken. And again, we could call it a soul-level urge. It's not necessarily at the ego level all the time, although sometimes even the ego joins in wanting to awaken, right? But even when the ego is not joined in that desire to awaken, the soul still is. And we can count on that. We are not abandoned by our soul's yes when the call to come home is given. We are not abandoned by our souls, yes, to the call to come home when it is given. So the urge to become what one is invincibly strong, and you can always count on it. But that does not mean that things will necessarily turn out positively, right? According to what the ego would perceive as good. If you are not interested in your own fate, so if you are not following that inner path and being surrendered to that inner guru, which of course is the easy path home, and it's a choice that we all have. We don't have to cling to our self-will. We don't have to cling to our self-will, right? So if we choose to go within and be completely surrendered to the insight and clarity and guidance that comes from within, wonderful. However, if we are not interested in our own fate, the unconscious is, the soul is, the father is, whatever word you put on that. And that is still working to bring us to awakening. And sometimes that awakening occurs through upheaval or even tragedy. Upheaval or tragedy. And so Jesus says, "My Father is the gardener." Carl Jung called it the urge to become what one is, and he also called it the unconscious, right? If you aren't interested in your own fate, the unconscious is. That's the gardener, which Jesus is calling my Father. Different words referring to the same unseenness that is taking us home. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So let me finish my sentence, Kathy, then I'll turn the mic to you. So either through our inner willingness and our inner surrender, or possibly through outer upheavals, or even possibly through tragedy, what is happening is that every branch in us that bears no fruit is being cut off. Purification is occurring. All right, Kathy, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Can you hear me? I'm on my phone. Yes. Okay, thank you. Regina, as you're sharing this, I'm noticing maybe I had a misunderstanding on yesterday's quote, because my contemplation was that the unconscious, this aspect of the unconscious, would be equal to the ego. The ego is interested in keeping itself going. And if I am not centered in presence, if I am not surrendered to listening to a voice other than that, the operation of the ego continues on in the lie of it all. So I must have just completely misunderstood what that unconscious was. I did not equate that at all with the notion of what is. So, you know, maybe I'm just completely mistaken on that, but that quote definitely did catch my attention, and I did spend some time with it, and it just felt to me like Jesus was saying, look, this is the deal. If you're not willing to pay attention to what is passing through the mind and surrender to a voice other than that, if you notice that it is out of alignment, if you're not willing to surrender to a voice that maybe you're not quite so familiar with, don't worry, that unconscious will continue on keeping you in this loop of of madness. So either way, I mean, your fate occurs either way. If you're listening to the voice for God, your infallible fate will present itself to you. And if you're not listening to the voice for God, your fate will also present itself to you. So that's what I got out of it, and I might be totally confused on that. So if you want to clarify that in some way, I'd appreciate it. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. I think that's an excellent example of something that we've talked about a few weeks ago here in the Guiding Light, when we talked about the fact that we are all prophets. And we talked about the fact that, for example, when I read the Bible or the Carl Jung quote, and I contemplate that with the inner self, the inner self interprets that quote in a way that is most helpful for me today. And if I could read the exact same quote a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, when I'm possibly in a different place on the spiritual path, and a completely different understanding can be given through the quote. And this is why we really need to be, each of us, we need to be our own prophet. It's okay. I mean, you know, it's fun even to come into the sanctuary and to have people show up and listen when I teach, or, you know, or I show up and listen when you teach. You know, that's a lot of fun. But the outer path, which is what we talked about last time, the outer path would be listening to whoever is speaking as if they have something I don't have and I need to learn from them. And we talked about how the outer path is an error. The inner path is going within and receiving our own realizations, our own guidance. And in spite of all of the teaching that I'm doing during the Guiding Light, if I could teach one thing to everyone, the one thing that I would teach is, you also can read the Bible or a Carl Jung quote or anything else and receive clarity, guidance that is perfect for you. You don't actually need me to do it for you. So I would not say that you were wrong in your understanding of the quote, or that I was wrong in my understanding of the quote. I would say that each of us was given the understanding we were to be given on that day. And in fact, you know, I read the book of John, probably in 2006, and an interpretation came through me. That interpretation is written down and is in the NTI. It's in NTI, right? The interpretation that I am receiving now through the Guiding Light is not the same as the interpretation I received in 2006, which happens to be 10 years ago. And that's probably good news. That probably means that in 10 years, I have progressed. If I was receiving the exact same interpretation 10 years later, that might mean I wasn't listening very well and moving very far. So the fact that I can read the same words and then they prophesy to me differently is a good sign. I think one mistake that many people make is the belief that these words mean one thing. I used to make that mistake. In fact, I began with that mistake when I first asked for truth. I prayed a prayer and I said, please show me the truth. I don't care what it is. But at that time, even though I said I don't care what it is, I still had a belief in my mind that it was a religion, a Christian religion, with the right interpretation of the Bible. Do you hear that? I thought these words had one meaning, and that there was a religion out there who knew and understood that one right, that one right meaning. And so I was looking for them because I wanted to join them, the ones with the one right meaning. And I did extensive research, and the only thing that I found was that that was not true. I could find no religion that had one right meaning. I just couldn't. I just found different interpretations of the same words. And at that time, I thought I abandoned my search. What I didn't realize was that I had learned a very important lesson that wasn't quite understood yet. But you know, many great teachers have called the Bible, as well as other scriptures, I'm sure, but the Bible is the one that I'm accustomed to. They call it the living word. Right? The living word. And it lives in you. I had a kind of a discussion with Michael Langford last night. He was asking me if it was okay that someday he might deliver this message. I don't know if he will. He says he didn't know for sure that he ever would, but if he chose to deliver this message someday, would it be okay with me? I guess I'm going to deliver it now. And the message is, he teaches, and I won't use the exact right words, so I apologize for that, but he teaches that all spiritual teachings of the past are distorted by the ego. And so if you study the spiritual teachings of the past, you are also receiving ego distortions. And of course, that serves the ego to preserve the ego. And the message that he said he might one day deliver is that all of the teachings in Awakening Together are teachings from the past. And he said the past doesn't necessarily mean 2,000 years ago. And he said some numbers, like it could be 5 years ago. I might change that number to 10 years ago. NTI is a teaching of the past. Or 50 years ago, A Course in Miracles is a teaching of the past. Yeah, yesterday would be a teaching of the past. And I said, no, I would not be offended at all if he delivered that message, because I didn't say this to him, what I'm about to say to you. I just told him, no, I would not be offended. But that, I think, is the outer past that we talked about 2 weeks ago. If I am studying A Course in Miracles with my intellectual mind, or I am studying NTI with my intellectual mind, I am studying a teaching of the past. The living word is in me now. That's the inner path. I may use the Bible or A Course in Miracles or NTI or a Carl Jung quote to kind of catalyze this moment's teaching. But the teaching, the true teaching, is always fresh and in this moment now. We are all prophets. So, Kathy, I want to thank you for bringing that up, because I do think that the mind wants to hold on to the idea there's a right way to understand these words and a wrong way to understand these words. And if we are really going to receive that true teaching, which is always born now in me or in you, right? If we're really going to receive that true teaching that is born in me now, we need to let go of the idea that these words have one right meaning. All right, Kathy, the mic is yours.
I'm really thankful you reminded me of that, Regina. Really so thankful that you just reminded me of that. I guess for me, when I was contemplating that particular quote, it was closely in conjunction with some homework I was doing with Inner Ramana, and the explanation that seemed to resonate with me was, in fact, what I just shared with you earlier. And I didn't feel to really, you know, question that or change that at all. Yet I did notice the doubt within my mind as you were sharing from the Bible, and you know, and how you how it resonates with you. And so it was a good thing that you reminded me that my present moment guidance, you know, can be totally different than your present moment guidance, and it's perfect for it's perfect right as it is for me and for you. So thank you very much for taking the time to let me express that and reminding me, helping me to remember. I appreciate it. And I will let go of the mic here.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm sure that the reminder was not for us alone. Because like I said, the mind really does want us to think there's one right way to understand this. And then that's what gets us into our debates, right? You know, whether we're talking about the Bible or NTI or A Course in Miracles or the Daily Quote, we then get to debate because I'm right and you're wrong, or vice versa. But if we understand that the inner self speaks to each of us perfectly, and again, you and I can have completely different understandings of the same quote at a different time, and we just let that living word be the living word, there's nothing to debate. Debate's impossible, right? I respect how the words are speaking to you, and I trust that how the words are speaking to you are perfect for you, and you can respect and trust how the words are speaking to me, and trust that the way the words are speaking to me are perfect for me. And we never have to have conflict. Of course, conflict could only come from the ego, and it's the ego that says these words only have one meaning. Let me pause for a moment and just read what Teddy has written on the board. It's not something I can glance at. It gets a little longer, so I have to pause and give my attention. Teddy says, memory of the concepts of any teaching are only helpful as a framework to help understand why the teaching and practice would work. But all learning is in the release of all concepts, because that is actually the practice of the teachings. And I just want to repeat that. And I'll also say that he has, for the recording, I'll say that he has the word release all in caps and the word that all in caps. So all learning is in the release of all concepts, because that is actually the practice of the teachings. And then Teddy continues, nothing conceptual you have learned in the past can help you learn now. It is in the release of the past where all knowledge is gained. Yeah, perfect. And then I'm not certain who this person is, not even certain how to say your name. I will probably ruin it. Maybe I shouldn't even attempt. Nick? You know, I'm going to call you Nick. I'm going to stop right there, because after that, my tongue gets completely tied. So, yeah. So Nick? Nick says, most knowledge is yesterday's news. Maybe that's why it's the root of all evil. And Nick says that he or she can't pronounce their name either. Ha ha. All right. All right, so let's return then. We probably won't finish this today, I can tell already, but who cares? You know, the learning that's happening today is perfect today. Even the goal that we should finish the section is a mistake, right? So we're still on the second verse. Here we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So again, probably one thing I want to say about this, which might be helpful to someone else, right? We can also learn from one another. It's definitely helpful to me when I hold it in mind, and it may also be helpful to you, is that when the mind's judgment, things seem to be going wrong, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to surrender and allow the Father to cut off every branch in me that bears no fruit. I'm reminded of a Rumi quote, and again, I can't remember it exactly. I remember the gist. Or maybe I'm not even remembering the quote. Maybe I'm remembering my contemplation of the quote. But somehow what I'm remembering is related to Rumi. And the idea is to be like a limp fish. That's, you know, when you fish, when you're fishing, you know, and you hook some fish, they run away, right? They try to get away from you. And if the fish is big, there's like a tug of war that happens. And the way I'm remembering it is there's a Rumi quote about that tug of war that happens with the strong fish representing the ego. So the strong fish pulls and pulls, and that would be the symbol of the resistance, when the strong fish is pulling away. And the strong fish pulls and pulls, and God, or the soul, or whatever you want to call it, just kind of waits. And then when it feels the strong fish getting tired and growing limp, it begins to reel it in, bring it towards it, right? God begins to reel you in. But then when the reeling in happens, the strong fish becomes frightened again, and it begins to pull and pull, and God kind of goes back into patience mode, waiting mode. Then the fish becomes weak again, and God pulls it in a little more. And this is what it's like if we're really clinging to our self-will, our personality. It's kind of I fight, and God lets me. God lets me be in that ego. God lets me fight. But when I grow tired, God pulls me in a little. And, you know, if we put this in time, this process of fighting and then being pulled in a little, fighting and being pulled in a little, could take a very long time before we finally get pulled in all of the way because of our resistance. And not only that, it could be harder. I mean, resistance doesn't actually feel good. So it's going to be a harder path. So whether it was Rumi or whether it was my contemplation of this example of his, what sticks in my mind is be a limp fish. When you know you're hooked, you know you've received the calling to awaken, just be the limp fish and let God draw you in. I went out to dinner last night with some friends here in Pueblo. One of my friends is named Dan. And Dan was talking a little bit about this same process. It might have been because he saw the daily quote. Dan is one of our Awakening Together members who listens to the audios, and, you know, he might read the daily quote and so, but he's never in the sanctuary. But he listens to all of my Seven Steps teachings. He's actually, you know, very involved from behind the scenes. So it might have been yesterday's quote that we were discussing. I don't remember. But Dan was talking about how when things appear to go wrong in your life, right, you know, what the ego or the mind wants to do is figure out how to get things back in order so that I, the mind, can feel comfortable again. And Dan was saying, actually, when things are going bad, according to the mind's judgment, when things are going wrong, according to the mind's judgment, the best thing to do is to sit in a chair, you know, and breathe and do nothing. And I think he even said, if you have to, tie your hands. And I giggled and said, tie yourself to the chair, you know. But that's the limp fish. Be the limp fish. There's another quote somewhere. I can't remember who it is. It might be another Rumi quote. Could be somebody totally different. But there's a quote about leaves swirling. You know, and that the leaves swirling would be the upheaval. And just allowing those leaves to swirl until they fall to the ground. You know, and of course we all know, A Course in Miracles says, I need do nothing. Again, this is all the limp fish. So, if we remember that what appears to be upheavals or even sometimes tragedy in our life is an opportunity to be reeled in by the Father, maybe we can remember to be the limp fish. Or as my friend Dan says, you know, sit in the chair and tie your hands or even tie yourself to the chair, right? And allow that to be the easier path. Again, now the mind will not agree. And that's why you might have to tie yourself to the chair. The mind won't agree. The mind will tell you, you need to fix this. You need to do something. You need to blah, 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 blah. But that's being the strong fish that's fighting. Be the limp fish. So, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And now listen to the next line. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. What's interesting about the word prune to me is that also involves cutting. Right? So, I'm looking for an example, and here's the one that's coming to me. So, let's say, one of the things that Regina has always been fairly good at is taking time in the day for the inner path. At different times, it has been different inner processes, you know, at one time journaling, at one time, more contemplation, now more meditation. And there have been short periods where she thought other things were more important and she didn't do it. But for the most part, she's been pretty good at taking the inner path. So that is a branch that bears fruit, right? Her willingness to take the inner path. So how can this be pruned? Well, a year ago, maybe a little less than a year ago, things happened, some of which the mind might interpret as good and some of which the mind might interpret as bad, right? Things happened. One was that my daughter left for college, which the mind primarily interpreted as good, although there was some crying and loss on the day that it happened, but she left. She went to college. My roommate, who had lived with me for 5 years and actually was a portion of my income, got this idea in her mind that if she moved out, my boyfriend would move in with me, and she thought that he should be living with me now that Jasmine was gone. So she decided to move out. And the mind could interpret that maybe as bad because I lost some income there. And then the boyfriend chose not to move in, which again, the mind could maybe interpret that as bad, you know, if it wanted to. Why the heck don't you want to live with me, right? Why the heck don't you want to help support me? Blah, blah, blah. So if the mind was to get into it, the mind could have opinions about all of these things, and the mind could perceive it as an upheaval. It's definitely a change. I'm going to have less money, right? I live in this big house. I think for me, the funny thing is, I'm in this big house all by myself. What do I need all this space for? I think that was the biggest thing for me. I'm the practical kind of person who wants to use all the space. But for different people, you know, it could have been interpreted differently. But this everybody moving out and nobody moving in was a pruning process. It led to more time within, deeper within. You see? So, you know, if we're listening to the mind's interpretations, we could judge some things as bad, not what I want. We could, you know, please, Danielle, please stay. I need your $500 a month. Or please, Ron, please move in with me. Why don't you? We've been dating 25 years and you still don't want to live with me, right? All this could happen if we're listening to the mind. But if we're being the limp fish, then in this case, that branch that has been bearing fruit since 2004, that going within, is now pruned, so that it can be even more fruitful. So, you know, it's funny. I think the moral of the story is the same, whether we're talking about the purification of cutting off the branches that don't bear fruit, or whether we're talking about the increase of pruning the branches that do. The mind wants to interpret as bad that which is good, that which is calling us home. And so we want to be very, very careful about listening to the mind's interpretations. Because if we listen to the mind's interpretations, we are much more likely to act like the strong fish and swim away in resistance, and God will let us do that. But we are only increasing our own pain and delaying our own awakening. We're still on the line. That's the good news. All right? Even the fish that is trying to get away is still on the line. So we're still on the line. And the fact that God is going to reel us in is inevitable. But our struggle is delaying it and making it more difficult. Peace Pilgrim talked about this in her own way. And I remember her words that she called it the hills and valleys of the spiritual path. And I remember her words being that this time, I don't think she said time of conflict, but something like that. This time of conflict with the ego, the conflict between the ego and the God-serving self, those aren't her words either, but these are her ideas. The conflict between the ego and the God-serving self can be more or less stormy. She said it could be very easy or very difficult. And then she said hers was somewhere in between. And it reminds me also in the Manual for Teachers from A Course in Miracles, I think Jesus uses words saying something like it doesn't have to be painful, but it generally is. Teddy might be able to quote that better for me, but that again is the idea. It doesn't have to be painful, but you know, generally it is painful. And that again is because we're not being the limp fish. We're being the strong fish trying to go our own way, right? And God lets us. God doesn't actually fight us. When we are being the strong fish, I know what I want and I know what's right for me, God just moves into wait mode or patience mode and lets us go. And that line goes out, 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 out. We are still on the line, but it goes out, 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 out. And God waits until we grow tired or willing again and then begins to reel us back in. But again, that's the slow and hard way. So I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Now this next sentence I love. I love them all, but now I'm on the next sentence, and now I love it. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It's interesting because we're talking kind of about a purification process, right? And lots of people have the idea that they need to be purified because they are bad, dirty, unclean, right? That's not what purification is about. It's not about making an unclean person clean. You are already clean, Jesus says. It's just about removing illusions, removing false beliefs, false ideas, false thinking. There's nothing about you or me that is dirty and needs to be cleansed through purification. In fact, we are absolutely perfect. Holy is really not even a word that describes us. It attempts to, it points in the right direction, but the truth is what we are is beyond holy. Beyond holy. You are beyond holy. Purification has nothing to do with cleaning you. You are already clean. Purification only removes false ideas. And of course, one of the biggest false ideas that we hold about ourselves is what I call the I am bad thought, what A Course in Miracles calls guilt, what NTI calls unworthiness, what some people call shame or sin. It's amazing how we hold to that idea about ourselves. But it's just a false idea. It's not true about anyone. It never has been, and it never will be. And so Jesus says, you are already clean. That is not the reason for the purification process. It is not to clean you. It is simply to remove the false ideas. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And then he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Again, he's pointing to the inner path, right? The inner path, which we had a great discussion about that today with Kathy. Don't seek outside thinking somebody outside of you has something you don't have. You are perfectly built right now. You're perfectly built right now. Everything that you need for awakening is a package deal already inside of you. You just need to go within and start unwrapping the package and discover what's there. In my perception, and you are of course invited to take this or leave this, but in my perception, time within every day is critical to the spiritual path. And even as I say that, I also want to say if on occasion, because of circumstances, there isn't time to go within, you also need to be willing to allow that, right? You shouldn't be getting angry because you can't go within today. But as a general rule, time within every day is critical for the spiritual path because the kingdom of God is within. The entire path is within. Everything you need is within. And so Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. And I think I'll just take another minute. Is Wayne still after me? I don't see him. And often when I let go of the mic, he isn't here. So I think I'll just finish this one little paragraph. If I'm incorrect in making that decision because somebody else is here and it's their time, please just put up your hand. I'm only continuing. Yeah, so is there a few minutes for me, Lynn? Am I free to continue and finish the paragraph? Okay, all right. So I think that means I'm free. So I'm going to continue then. If I'm wrong, just put up your hand. Okay, take your time. So he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. And then he says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. You know, it's funny. It's funny how words just don't cut it. Because you know what? He says, he says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. And I'm going to say, this is why you need time alone. Time alone sounds like you're trying to be a branch bearing fruit by yourself. But you're not. Time alone is when you go within and you connect with that inner soul, that inner Father, that inner Jesus, that inner higher self, that inner Holy Spirit, that inner heart. That's when you're not alone. Imagine that. Time alone is when you're not alone. When you're in your head, you know, the head, the thinking mind, has individual interpretations. My way of seeing and understanding a certain scenario is going to most likely be different than your way of seeing and understanding that same scenario because of our different mental interpretations. In fact, you all may have heard me say that, you know, my interpretations, opinions, beliefs, etc., are only one in 7.5 billion. There's nobody else on the planet Earth that has the same set of opinions and beliefs and filters and interpretations that I have. And I think last time I said this, I think Teddy wrote something in the room about, and that doesn't even include the aliens on the other worlds. And he's right, you know? So when I'm in my head, when I'm in my mind, that's when I'm really alone, even if I'm with a crowd of people. Because I'm in that set of interpretations that belong only to this Regina character. But when I take time alone and go into the heart or the inner self and connect, that's when I'm not alone. And so Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. He's saying you have to get out of the mind. You have to get out of your individual interpretations, your individual beliefs, your individual way of thinking. You must drop within and connect. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You see, that's the connection. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So there you go. We got to do the whole first paragraph. And I realize that there is time probably, and Lynn would probably let me continue, but I don't feel to continue. I feel like that's enough for today. You know, enough, right? We'll stay with that. We'll contemplate that, and then we'll come back next week and we'll do a little more. So next week we will begin with John chapter 15, verse 5. And I want to thank you all for hanging out with me for an additional 5 minutes so we could at least finish a paragraph today. And I will see you all next Wednesday. I'll probably see you before then, but next Wednesday for the guiding light. All right. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.